This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Tourism and agriculture drive Maryland's Eastern Shore economy. But a report issued earlier this year by the state's Economic Development Agency found there was another industry with room to expand on the shore, space. NASA's Wallops Flight Facility sits 5 miles across the state line in Accomack County, Virginia. It's estimated that 40% to 50% of the Wallops workforce lives in Maryland. Just last week, Wallops broke ground on a new research park that could attract more aerospace companies to the area and more jobs. What does that mean for Maryland's lower eastern shore? With us to talk about it is Dr. Memo Dirriker. He's professor of business and economic development at Salisbury University. He's also director of BEACON. That stands for Business, Economic, and Community Outreach Network. He joins us from Delmarva Public Radio in Salisbury. Welcome to the show.
My pleasure.
Also with us is Bruce Underwood. He's deputy director of strategic development at Wallops Flight Facility. He's with us on the phone from his office there. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Bruce Underwood, how long has the Wallops Flight Facility been there?
Well, we were actually established in 1945, so we've been here for coming up. Next year will be our 70th anniversary.
And what kind of work goes on there?
Well, our core business is in support of NASA's science program, so we're engaged in a variety of different kinds of projects that allow us to basically enable the scientists around the country to conduct research in space. We do that through a variety of different platforms where we take scientific experiments and put them on rockets or balloons or aircraft or unmanned aerial systems and fly them and allow them to collect data for their science community.
It sounds pretty exciting. How many people work at Wallops?
Our NASA team is made up of about 300 government employees and about 800 contractors. So there's about 1,100 of us here that are in support of NASA. We do have another 500 or so associated with our tenants that are other agencies that are resident here, like the Navy, NOAA, Coast Guard, and our commercial spaceport.
And what kind of jobs are we talking about, and what job categories?
Sure. A large percentage of our workforce is engineers or scientists that are involved in designing and building flight hardware for our customers. But there's really, across the spectrum, there's trades where we have machinists and technicians who actually assemble flight hardware for us. And then there's the professional and administrative areas that provide the enabling services, such as our contracts folks and our public affairs offices and things like that.
Professor Dirriker, you have studied the economic impact of Wallops on the Eastern Shore economy. Tell us what that looks like.
Yeah, it's actually a huge contribution when you think about close to 1,600 people working there and the allied industry that supports the activities around the Wallops Flight Facility. There are billions of dollars going in and out of the facility, but the percentage or the portion that stays in the local economy is fairly significant, well in excess of $250 million a year in total economic impact, and over 3,000 jobs supported. You know, when you look at the rural eastern shore of Virginia and even eastern shore of Maryland, you don't have that many operations that can boast that kind of economic impact, that kind of job support.
Paint a little picture for us of what some of that economic impact is.
Well, as you heard, there are tenants that include companies. There are companies that support the activities of the flight facility, from computer companies to rocket science companies to even the companies that come and fill the water cooler. So there's a big campus there, a big group of employees that need all kinds of services delivered to them, and companies near and far come and deliver those services. They hire people, they pay wages, they pay their vendors, and that money, a very nice chunk of that money, churns in the local economy, creating jobs for other people, all the way from the convenience store clerk who sells you milk because of some of the salaries that are paid to the people who work and live there, to the engineers and the scientists who make very good wages.
Bruce Underwood, I mentioned the new research park that broke ground last week at Wallops. What kinds of companies are you hoping to attract to Wallops, and what might they be working on?
Sure. So the services that we provide and do take care of for our own NASA work, in addition to that, we often offer those are in demand for outside organizations as well. So we do a fair amount of work kind of for others. There's commercial companies like Orbital Sciences Corporation, who is flying the Antares rocket out of here. In addition to using some of our facilities for building flight hardware, they need some administrative office space and things like that. So there could be rocket companies that are essentially our customers. There's a growing interest in the unmanned aerial systems area of bringing those into the commercial airspace and commercial applications. And so we're seeing interest from some of those companies that they may have an interest in providing or establishing facilities in the area. And then there's kind of research organizations and universities who may have campuses elsewhere in the state, but need a location near our campus that also are kind of thinking about that area as well.
Unmanned aerial systems drones. The Federal Aviation Administration is scheduled to release rules for commercial drone use next year. How much development do you expect to see in the drone industry before then?
Well, I think that's a good question. There's certainly a lot of interest, and there's a pent-up interest in how those platforms can be used for a variety of commercial interests. We're directly and have actually been involved in using unmanned systems for several decades and using them for scientific research like we're getting ready to do later this year for continuing our studies of hurricanes. But there is this budding commercial industry that says once these things are available and once the FAA defines how they can be used in the public airspace, they can be used for precision farming and for real estate, photographing and things like that. So there's a number of opportunities. And so the expectation is that this industry will really mushroom. And so as a result of that, there's a lot of companies that are posturing to be ready to go when the FAA releases their rules.
Uh-huh. On 88.1, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with Bruce Underwood, Director of Strategic Development at Wallops Flight Facility on Virginia's part of the Eastern Shore, and with Professor Memo Dirriker, a professor of business and economic development at Salisbury University. We're talking about the economic impact of NASA's Wallops Flight Facility near the Maryland-Virginia border on the Eastern Shore. Professor Dirriker, the report released by Maryland in February found that more could be done around space-related tourism. What do you think could be done, and how could that be improved?
Well, we had space-related tourism happening without any investment in it, without any kind of program in it. Anytime there was a launch, people would come and watch it, and there are already school trips and retiree communities come and visit the facility or the museum. So there was space-related tourism happening almost organically, if you will. Now the area business and economic development decision makers have said, let's invest in this, let's take a look at it, let's partner with Wallops and the surrounding area, hotels, restaurants, and other recreation activities to provide the visitors a complete package, to provide them the housing, the food options, the recreational options in and around what happens at the Wallops Flight Facility. So it's a very lucrative future economic activity for our area. It also complements the seasonality of our normal tourism, our beach tourism, because activities at Wallops happen all the time, and you have the ability to prepare for them and serve the needs of the visiting public.
So that's space-related tourism. Of course, there's another kind of tourism the report mentions, which is space tourism, in which people pay a fair amount of money to go up into space, not just watch other people do it. Bruce Underwood, is that a possibility at Wallops?
Yes, there are a number of companies that are kind of in their development phase right now that you can read about in the trade magazines that are interested in offering rides to space for those folks who have enough discretionary income to be able to afford it. We expect, or at least if you believe what is coming out of the industry forums, that some of those companies may start to fly as early as very late this year and start to provide those services. We probably won't see those at Wallops. Initially, they're doing a lot of their early developmental work out west in places such as New Mexico and California. But the there are a number of those companies that are in that business that have talked to us and about the possibilities of wanting to do business on the East Coast, perhaps you know, a couple of years after they start flying as a secondary site. And so we expect that that is something that sooner or later, assuming that the industry does mature, that we'll see at Wallops, and we're eager to support and help when they are ready to talk to us.
Does Wallops, by location or anything else, have any? Would it bring anything special to attracting space tourism?
The way I've heard it described by some in the business is, if you think about where the money is located, not everyone wants to move out of New England and hop on an airplane and go all the way to the West Coast for this application. And so some of the folks that are paying attention to this believe that by virtue of being closer to some of the, you know, the larger quantities of money in the United States, such as the Northeast, that makes us a good location for them to set their eyes for being a site to support. So we're a lot closer than having to go across country. So that's at least one of the reasons why we might be in consideration.
Professor Diriker, how important is it that the Eastern Shore economy diversify to expand industries like aerospace? What's at stake?
Oh, it's critical. When you look at our economy and the two big engines of it being tourism and agriculture, you're at the mercy of weather and you're at the mercy of various seasonalities. When you have other types of economic activity in your portfolio, especially year-round activity and activity that appeals to either wage structures or expenditure patterns that are above the area median income, you're going to benefit throughout the economy. And that's not just the Virginia side, it's also the Maryland side. As you said, a lot of the employees and a lot of the vendors are on this side of the border. So it is critical, and it's something that the decision makers on this side have been considering and discussing and intend fully to invest in.
I appreciate you both walking us through it. Thank you.
My pleasure.
My pleasure.
Memo Diriker is a professor of business and economic development at Salisbury University. He's also director of Beacon, the Business, Economic, and Community Outreach Network. Bruce Underwood is director of strategic development at Wallops Flight Facility in Accomack, Virginia. We've got information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. Ahead on Maryland Morning, Maryland captured in black and white during the Great Depression and World War II. Stay with us on 88.1.